Well, that's an interesting little parable we hear from Jesus this morning, isn't it? Guy owes his master a ton of money. Master threatens to throw him in jail, which is kind of bizarre because if he goes to prison, there's no chance of him being able to pay off the debt to the master. But instead, he craves mercy from his master, and he asks him, you know, give me some time. Let me get this paid back to you. And the master forgives him his debt. It's a beautiful image. We use the word debt and debtors here at Good Shepherd when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Some places use the word sin, sinners, or trespasses. And it's important for us to remember that this is parabolic. Jesus is telling a parable here. When Jesus was teaching that prayer, the debt he's referring to there isn't about money. It's about sin debt, right? It's about sin and about being forgiven. So what's interesting about the parable is that after this man is forgiven his debts, he goes out to one of his servants and chokes him and demands that he be repaid the money that's owed him. He didn't show the same sort of mercy and forgiveness to his servant that his master had showed to him. And the other folks, they witnessed it, and they went and they reported him to the master. And the master called him in and said, that won't do. That's not right. I showed you mercy, and yet you didn't extend that mercy on. And he gets handed over to the jailers to be tortured. I don't know how he's going to pay his debt back at that point. But it's interesting because of what Jesus says that he says, this is how your heavenly Father will treat each of us unless we forgive our brothers and sisters from the heart. It's an important lesson that we're called to receive forgiveness and we're called to grant forgiveness. We can receive forgiveness from God. We do that liturgically every time we get together for worship, right? We take a moment to confess our sins, and then we hear those words of assurance, or what some churches call the comforting words. We know that our sins are forgiven because we placed our faith in Christ Jesus. But there's that part that Jesus talks about today, that our Father God in heaven is not going to be in any mood to forgive our sins if we're not in the mood to forgive others of their sins. Forgiveness is central to the understanding of this Christian faith that we profess. And unforgiveness, I would suggest to you, is deadly. It's deadly spiritually. I can tell you as a psychologist, I think it's got its potential to be deadly in the physical too. I think people holding on to unforgiveness end up putting themselves in some very poor situations with regard to their health. When people hold on to old junk that they're not willing to, as the saying goes, forgive and forget, it's heartbreaking. I think it literally does break their heart. I think it causes disease processes in them. It certainly robs them of their joy. And we've probably all been there. You can probably think of a time where you were holding on to something and you realize it was just robbing you of your joy. And when you were finally able to release it and forgive, it changed. Everything about you changed. If we don't, what we end up doing is, if we're not willing to forgive somebody, we actually give them power. We give them power over how we're feeling and how we're doing in life. And it's just absolutely silly. We become a slave to something that we should have already moved on to. It's been said of unforgiveness that it's holding on to unforgiveness is a lot like drinking poison and expecting that that's going to kill your enemy. It makes absolutely no sense. So forgiveness is clearly a central part of the Christian faith. But I would submit to you that it's got family. That forgiveness actually comes around with two first cousins. And I don't think this will come as any shock to you, but let me tell you what those two first cousins are, in my opinion. Confession and repentance. Forgiveness is unique in that trifecta of those three, confession, repentance, and forgiveness, in that forgiveness is the part that we're called to not only receive from God, but we're called to give to other people. And think about that for a moment. The very thing that separates us from God is our sin. And so if we're going to receive forgiveness from God for our sin, we have to first be willing to confess our sins. We have to be willing to admit that we've made errors, that we've done things we shouldn't have done, that we've left undone things that we should have attended to. We have to be able to divest ourselves of those sins by confessing them to the Lord, and we have to be willing to repent. We have to be willing to make a decision that the way I've been doing this is not only a sin, but it's something I need to make sure I change in my life. I'm called to do that. And I think that's part of the human problem, is that we have difficulty confessing when we're wrong. We have difficulty confessing our sins. I don't know that it ever gets easier. And I think that's why the scriptures remind us that God's mercies are new every morning, because we're called to confess on a daily basis to the Lord how we've fallen short of the mark. We don't do it for him. He already knows. He knows everything. We do it for us as we examine ourselves. We do it for us so that we can figure out where we've fallen short. We can make a decision to repent and we can receive that forgiveness. But again, we're also called to give forgiveness to others. This is how your Heavenly Father will treat each of us unless we forgive our brothers and sisters from the heart. That's what Jesus says today in that gospel. If we're not willing to forgive, it's not possible for us to receive forgiveness. Now, let's look at the very beginning of the gospel reading today. Old Peter. I love Peter, one of my favorite characters in Scripture. Peter, he's been blessed by God at this point. He's already been called the rock. And then a week later, he got called Satan. But he's obviously trying to be in the Lord's good graces. And he's interacting with the Lord. And he thinks he's got a solution here. What does he say to God? He says, or to Jesus, he says, "How many times should I forgive my brother or my sister who sins against me? Seven times, Lord?" And it's interesting, because I think in Peter's mind, he thought, I've nailed this. Seven's a good number. Seven, in biblical terms, is the number of completion, right? God was finished with the creation of everything at seven. He rested on that 7 days. Seven's a very significant number. But here's the reality of it that sometimes gets lost if we only pay attention to the New Testament. In the time that this is happening, when this is recorded, you've got to remember that this is a Jewish society, and Jesus is Jewish, and Jesus is a rabbi. And so the prevailing rabbinical teaching at this time that this story is taking place that we're hearing about today is this teaching, that you are to forgive your brother or sister three times. You give them a first shot, you give them a second chance, and you're generous by giving them a third chance. And that's all you're called to. So Peter says, "What? I'm righteous. I can do better than that. Hey, seven times, right, Lord?" And what does Jesus say? Nope, not seven times. 77 times. And we got to be careful. We don't take that number literally. It's not like we keep track and go, "That was 77. Jordy and I were done," because he's on number 78. That's the 78th time he's offended me, and I rid myself of him. That's not what Jesus is talking about. The number 77 is used to say you forgive as often as you need to forgive. When someone asks you for forgiveness, you give them forgiveness. Why? Well, because that's exactly a reflection on earth the way we have our interaction with God in heaven. When we confess and we repent, he forgives every single time. And that's what we're actually called to do as well. And it's powerful. Forgiveness is powerful. And I'll tell you this, not understanding the power of forgiveness can enslave you. You can be enslaved when you don't understand the power of forgiveness. It will enslave you to a life of misery. There's a lady, she passed on back in 1988. Her name was Margarita Lasky, and she was European, she was British. She was an author and she was a radio personality, and she was an atheist. She was an avowed atheist. And she was an in-your-face atheist. She didn't have a problem evangelizing for the cause of atheism. But it's interesting because as she was approaching the end of her life, she was interviewed, and listen to this quote that she offered. She said, "What I envy most about you Christians," I'm going to stop there for a moment, and I want you to just let that sink in for a minute. "What I envy most about you Christians," that people see you're a Christian. People see Christ in you. And if they're not saved, if they haven't professed their faith and given their life over to Christ, some of them are envious. And that's what she is. "What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness." Listen to the second sentence. "I have nobody to forgive me." Can you imagine being on your deathbed and feeling that you have no one to forgive you? How sad that Miss Lasky went to her death not understanding the truth of God's holy word. God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever placed their faith in him would have eternal life, would not perish. Let me tell you something, dear Christian. Don't let that be you. Do not go to your final breath enslaved by the lack of forgiveness. Through confession, through repentance, through granting forgiveness and receiving forgiveness, you are set free from the slavery of sin and death. Kelly read to us this morning our first reading from Genesis, first book of the Bible, last chapter of the first book, chapter 50, and we hear that resolution of the story of Joseph. What did Joseph's brothers do to him? Now, we would have had to have read much earlier in Genesis to find out what they've done to him, but we all know the answer to that, presumably. They have sold him into slavery. They have literally sold their own brother into slavery. They have done a horribly awful thing. But in the end, we heard today, Joseph is a free man. He's not just a free man. He's climbed the ladder of the society in which he was enslaved. He's become very powerful. And something else has happened. Jacob, their father, has died. Excuse me. And the brothers, they're scared. They have fear because they believe that perhaps now they may actually be unprotected from Joseph and how powerful he is and his potential wrath that he could pour out on them because they don't have their dad to protect him anymore. And so let's take a look at what happens here. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrong we've done him?" Ooh, wow. It's just dawning on them. We've done some pretty nasty things here. Now, if they had heard the message I'm trying to get to you today, they would have confessed their sins, they would have repented of it, and they would have sought to receive forgiveness. They wouldn't be enslaved to this anymore. Unfortunately, that's not what they do. Look what they do. They conspire. So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." Are they sincere? No, of course not. They're just trying to figure out how to get themselves out of potential trouble. But look what happens. Look what happens here. Joseph says to him, don't be afraid. Am I God? I'm not God, Joseph says. I'm not here to punish you. You intended it to harm me, and God has used it for good. Joseph's a free man. He's willing to forgive. He is free from this. This isn't something he's holding on to and letting it get in his way. But look what the scriptures tell us happened to the brothers. The brothers threw themselves down before Joseph, and what did they say to him? They said, we are your slaves. They are enslaved by their sin because they're not willing to confess it. They're not willing to repent of it, and therefore they're unable to receive the forgiveness. My brothers and sisters, you don't have to live a life enslaved by unforgiveness. It's very simple. Confess your sins to God. Own up to them. Repent. Do better. Commit to do better. Ask God for the strength to be able to do it better. Receive and give that forgiveness. Because as St. Paul tells us in our epistle today, we're all going to stand before God's judgment seat. Each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. So do what God's word teaches. Confess, repent, forgive. And so I pray, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts this morning be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.